Welcome to Bedford County Speaks, a weekly public affairs program that introduces you to the work, lives, and lifestyles in Bedford County. Today's program over News Talk 1310 WBFD is hosted by Lloyd Roach. Bedford County Speaks is heard every Saturday at this time. Now let's join Lloyd for this week's discussion on Bedford County Speaks.
Thank you, Matt DeFazio, and good morning to you. Welcome to Bedford County Speaks. Today's program is brought to you as a public service by DestinationDelco.com. Just a few miles to the east of us, you can find the wonders of historic Delaware County and the Brandywine Valley. To learn more, visit DestinationDelco.com. I'll be right back to introduce my guest, Jillian Leach, of the Bedford County Historical Society, when Bedford County Speaks continues.
DestinationDelco.com, a new way to experience Delaware County. Destination Delco, from Philly to the Brandywine, we have the Crossroads, Riverside, Main Streets, Main Line, and the Brandywine. Five different ways to experience Delaware County. Check us out at DestinationDelco.com. Be sure to listen to Bedford County Speaks, Saturdays at 8:30 a.m., just before Rush, on News Talk 1310 WBFD.
Welcome to Bedford County Speaks. My name is Lloyd Roach, and this is our first program. I'm so delighted to do this program here in Bedford County, I cannot tell you. And I thought the producers of this program at WBFD, News Talk 1310, would give me an idea for the first show. And the geniuses here in the radio station came up with the idea of perhaps beginning with the history of Bedford County. So where else would we go for such information but none other than the Bedford County Historical Society? So with this brilliant idea in mind, I am visiting now Jillian Leach, who is the executive director of this society, and she will tell us everything we need to know about the history and the deep history of Bedford County. First of all, Jillian, thank you so much for coming on the program and being such a good support to talk to us today. I appreciate it very much.
You're welcome, and we're very excited that you're here. Bedford County Historical Society has played a great deal in the history of this community, and are interested and want to let everyone know when they come to visit, whether it's local or a tourist, what the opportunities are when you visit us.
Well, we're going to let you tell us the whole story in a second, but first, we want to know a little bit about you. I'm told, in fact, you're not a native of maybe even this country. So tell us a little bit about that. Fascinating story.
Okay. I was born in the Isles of Ely in Cambridgeshire, England, in a little market town called Whittlesea. Back in the Middle Ages, the Isles of Ely were owned by a monastery, and everybody that lived within that area was had to be taken care of by them. So if you were coming to England and you were in London, I would be 76 miles northeast of London. We'd be in the lowlands of East Anglia in the Wash area. And one of the most important things about my area is it's very flat. The land and the horticulture there is just like peat moss. We grow all kinds of fantastic flowers and vegetables. So most of the area that I was on were little tiny market towns.
Did you spend your childhood in the UK?
Yes and no.
Okay.
My mother married an American right after the Second World War. And I have two half-sisters, and my mother and father lived in California in the crazy San Francisco area. And back in 56, 57, 58, and 60, I came to America and spent some time in San Francisco with my family. But eventually, I went back to England because I was homesick, and that's where I stayed until I met my husband, Conrad.
Huh. So you've been there twice, literally.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, quite
and so
a while.
Your husband, Conrad, is a... Is it Brit also?
No, my husband Conrad is Conrad Leach. My husband Conrad's family, probably an eighth generation Bedford Countyan.
So this is the connection.
Yes. I picked up, and people will ask and I'll say, well, I picked up my yank in 1960 and 61. And he has a cute story, and the reason he got there was that, this is the story he told me, was that back in the late 1950s, I'm sure you know that President de Gaulle in France told all the Americans that they had to take all of their weapons and they had to get out of France. At that time, my husband Conrad was stationed in Spandau, Germany. Mm. So to allow for the weapons and stuff that the Americans needed. A lot of the Air Force men that were in Germany were shipped to England. And then the Air Force bases that were in France went into Germany. So that's how I ended up meeting Conrad Leach.
So you've obviously lived in Bedford for some time. When did Conrad and you arrive in Bedford to live here?
Well, my husband Conrad got out of the Air Force in March of 1961, and I followed him, and I came to America on St. Patrick's Day, March the 17th of 1961, and to this day, my alien registration number is A11421796. Have no idea what my Social Security number is, but some of you who are older will remember every January, the newspaper, the TV would say, all aliens have to go to the post office and report. So I'd have to trot myself down to the post office and fill out my alien registration card. Just thought that would be a cute little note for people who had forgotten about that.
Well, you're going to get to meet this fascinating woman if you come to the Historical Society and her wonderful staff here and her staff of volunteers and the board of directors, which you're going to hear about in a few minutes. Jillian, historical societies are interesting all over the country, but I think that what makes this so special is I just moved here from the eastern part of the state where they celebrate the history predominantly of the Revolutionary War because the Philadelphia area, of course, was the center point for the fight for American independence when we got rid of those pesky Brits. But 20 years prior to that, something as clearly as historical happened here in Bedford County and the surrounding counties in the name of the French and Indian War. So when I came here and learned that there was Revolutionary War prehistory here in Bedford, that made it particularly interesting to me, and I'm sure it does to anybody that lives here. So when the Historical Society began, was there an interest in preserving the historical facts of that period, or was it something else at the time?
Major Lutz and Alfred Ritchie wanted to form a Bedford County Historical Society back in the 1930s. What was interesting was when they first started this historical society, you had to be part of a pioneer family here. Hmm. Your family had to be here and you had to be a pioneer. Well, eventually they found out there were really not enough pioneers here, so they did change their charter later on. But from the documentation that I found in the late 1870s through the 1890s, there was a historical society here, and they met at the law library. And the records were kept there at the law library, but to my knowledge at this time, we have no idea where these records are or what they might have been. But then, like I said, when Major Lutz and Alfred Ritchie and a group of concerned citizens wanted to start a historical society to preserve the history, to tell the stories about the people that came in here, one of the neatest things of all is that their charter was begun in July the 4th of 1937. They wrote their charter for the second time, and they passed their charter, went to the state, and got permission to be what they are today.
So you're coming up on your 80th birthday.
Yes.
Boy.
Yeah. They were here for quite a few years, and on and off people would come, and the next big push here was, it was in 1957, 58. This part of Pennsylvania has always been poor, money-wise, people working very, very hard, and they had a lot of history, and what they wanted to do was to have tourists to come in. Agriculture and tourism is a big thing in Bedford County. So what happened in 56 and 57, the governor, George Leader of Pennsylvania, decided to give money to them. And what they did, they started to build Fort Bedford Museum for the 200th anniversary of Bedford County, of the Forbes campaign in 1758 here. And so the Historical Society started to help with that. They reformed again and were part of the bicentennial and were a big part in that. That was one of the that was one of the things that they did, was to get it back again. Prior to that time, the Historical Society had a small museum, did small research, documentation, and stuff like that. They would have an annual banquet. They would try to do different things, Aliquippa Gap. The first dedication memorial that they did was they did a dedication on July the 4th, I think, of 1938, was Christian Miller, who is buried at Ashcombe along with John Smiles and Peter Koontz and some of the early families that came in here from Loudoun County. They were trying to preserve the history. So every year they try to do some kind of documentation to make people aware of this type of thing.
I wish you could be here seeing this, even though this is a radio program, and I'm a big fan of radio, and I don't particularly care for television. But I want to tell you that this woman is giving you all of this with no notes. I said to her at the beginning, I won't ask you a lot of important dates, and here she is giving me all the important dates. So you're absolutely amazing. I think that one of the most interesting things is that the bicentennial of the United States happened in 1976, and you had your own bicentennial in 1957 with the celebration of the anniversary of the Forbes campaign. So it just shows you just how far ahead Bedford County has been on this thing all along. Our guest today is Jillian Leach, Executive Director of the Bedford County Historical Society, and today's program is brought to you by DestinationDelco.com, and you're listening to Bedford County Speaks. This is our inaugural program. We're just so delighted to have Jillian here to give us a real perspective of how things have happened historically. Okay, so we know about the ancient history. Well, we don't know, but we are aware of the ancient history. But does the Historical Society maintain an interest in the history that maybe not so quite ancient, 200 or 300 years old? I mean, do they care about things even 100 years old, or how does it work?
Our repository has things beginning when Bedford County was formed, March the 9th of 1771, up until the present. And if you come in, you will see that we have family histories over 4,500. We have over 200,000 obituaries. We have histories, 500 county, state, and other state histories. We have education on the turnpike, bridges, covered bridges, Indians, ethnic groups, railroad, newspaper clippings, binders on the springs, the Broadtop area, Everett, Fort Bedford, Old Bedford Village, picture albums, indexes, grantor, grantee, orphans court, marriages from the courthouse, poorhouse records, census from 1790 through 1930, education. Emily Dermer has been working for the last 3 years on one of the most fantastic things that you can believe. About 3 or 4 years ago, the volunteers and I got together, and we decided to do what we needed to do to make this place great. And we decided organization is what we needed. We must have had over 100 scrapbooks that had been donated to us. And what we decided to do was to take these scrapbooks, take them apart, put them into categories, organize them. By the time we were done, we had 3 garbage bags full of just school stuff, because if 100 people are saving the same picture. But Emily Dermer has now, when you come in here, she has 15 binders plus an index. And when you come in and you ask for Harrison Township, you open it up, it'll give you all the old schools and every picture of old schools that we have.
I was warned that when I would interview you, that you would take over the entire program. And I can see the warning was correct. But it has been delightful. And don't go away, because when we come back, we're going to learn how you managed all of this monumental task that you just talked about. Our guest today is Jillian Leach of the Bedford County Historical Society. And you can hear this is one enthusiastic participant as Bedford County Speaks continues.
DestinationDelco.com. A new way to experience Delaware County. Destination Delco. From Philly to the Brandywine, we have the Crossroads, Riverside, Main Streets, Main Line, and the Brandywine. 5 different ways to experience Delaware County. Check us out at DestinationDelco.com. Be sure to listen to Bedford County Speaks Saturdays at 8:30 a.m. just before Rush on News Talk 1310 WBFD.
Now, let's head back to today's Bedford County Speaks.
We're back at the Bedford County Historical Society here on the Lincoln Highway, Route 30. Earlier in the program, earlier in the first segment, we had talked a little bit about the early history. And Jillian admonished me by saying, we didn't cover enough of this, so I'm going to unleash her. But one of the things I think that is so interesting to people about the early history is their own personal connection to that history. Now, you mentioned two names of the founders, Mr. Ritchie and Mr. Luntz, is that correct? Those names are still around. I think that's very interesting to me. So, fire away. Tell us a little bit about this early history that is so prominent here in Bedford County.
Okay, there were people here in Bedford County as early as 1739. The British troops, no one was allowed to come into this area of the mountains. The Indians did not allow anyone. And the proprietaries of the state of Pennsylvania kept everyone out west of the Tuscarora Mountains. But there were families in here as early as 1739, and they came up from Maryland, and 20 miles of the lower part of the state of, or the state of Pennsylvania, thought they were Marylanders. And it wasn't until the Mason-Dixon line was drawn in 1767 that separated, that people knew just exactly who owned the land here. In 1750, Bedford County was then a part of Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, which was at Carlisle. Andrew Montour and seven Indian chiefs went to the commissioners in Cumberland County and complained about all the white settlers that were coming into the backwoods, and they had no right to be here. So what happened was the commissioners took Constable William Thompson and two other constables, Andrew Mansour, and these Indians, and they came into the Redstone, up into the Ogwick, and they burnt the cabins and tried to get the people out of here. One of the most interesting things here is a place called Burnt Cabins, and it's in Fulton County now. But at the time, in the record here, it says that they only went as far as Burnt Cabins. They didn't proceed further west, further south because of the boundary dispute between the Marylanders. Right. The other interesting thing that was here is the Indians were supposed to be here. And I want to give you a quick rundown on the French and Indian War. In June of 1754, the British Board of Trade called a Congress at Albany, New York, to address the French, the Indian, and the fur trade, because the French were coming down the Ohio River at Pittsburgh. And what happened was, while they were having this Congress, one of the Penns and Richard Peters, the governor of Pennsylvania, purchased from the Mohawk Indians the Juniata River Valley, which Bedford County was a part of, when they had no right to sell it. And the Shawnee and the Delaware, who were here after hearing what the Mohawk had done, joined the French here. And that was the beginning of the French and Indian War. Another great battle.
So that was the initiating of the conflict. I never quite understood that. So it was really about land, like
in
it always
this
is.
Yeah, in yeah. this area. And one of the most interesting things of all is, because of Britain's concern for the French coming in, you know, Braddock in 1755 is defeated, and the French are, or the British are ousted. That's a great history here. But Benjamin Franklin, what was interesting is James Byrd built a road through the newly acquired Juniata River Valley and was to meet with Braddock at the Turkey Foot at the Yaquehainie. Braddock, and most people know that an army travels on its stomach. And Braddock said, how am I going to feed my army? Benjamin Franklin said, don't worry. We'll build this new road through this newly acquired Juniata River Valley. I've got all these German farmers can bring you the food. But what happened, Byrd only got up into the Allegheny Mountains in the Somerset area, learns that Braddock has been defeated, turns around and comes back after John Denning tells him what happens, goes down to Fort Cumberland, leaves this whole area out. Mm. Before this happened, there were 3,000 white men in here armed. Afterwards, there was 100. Massacres all over the place.
I see.
Then 3 years later,
so
Ford
the
comes
departure
in.
Of the armed British Army at that time mm-hmm. was part and parcel to the later massacres conducted by the Indians. Mm-hmm. One of the things I want to ask you, if I may, in the middle of all this, even today, as you drive around this region of western Pennsylvania, it does look like a vast wilderness in many areas. And this is the 21st century. So I can't even imagine what it must look like in the 18th century. And yet they were talking about this property as being a very small place, you know, a small place for the Indians to operate, a small place for the British to operate. So they took it very seriously, these land boundaries, didn't they?
Absolutely. Yeah. Because the thing is, a lot of people ask me, what's so important about Bedford County? It's transportation. Like Lloyd said, if you are in this area, you have to go through the creeks and the rivers and the valleys to get through. This was the old animal path, the old Indian pass, the old trader pass going from Philadelphia east, going out west to the Ohio River, then going down into Kentucky and Tennessee. So Bedford County has always, the turnpike came in through here, follows almost identically the old Forbes Road.
So the pass is almost identical even up to this day. So we see these new four-lane highways. We're probably driving over some of the original pass. Fascinating.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Yes. Yeah.
So, okay, so this has obviously had a major impact on how people operate today.
Mm-hmm.
I noticed around here that many of the names are still very much in use. You get to see these old fort reproductions in places you go, and you see names of modern businesses that go back 200, 300, 400 years.
A lot of the families didn't move out of here. The younger generations of these families were here. Some families would say that when they opened up, like I said, after the French and Indian War, when Pittsburgh was opened up and people could go through, they went down into Tennessee and Kentucky. Eventually, the Ohio was opened up. After the Ohio, they went into Illinois when the land there was free. I know there was a wagon train that went out of Bedford County in 1867-68, went right after the Civil War. And when you go out, you will see they went out to Kansas and to Iowa, and to Keokuk. So these families have traveled and traveled. And Lloyd asked me something that was interesting, why we are here. We have people from all over the United States that come in here to look for those families that went on to Black Hawk County, Iowa, went to Washington. Very few of them. One of the most things I thought was good was the thing that they had on the History Channel, I think it was, about the Texas Rising. There were people from this area that went down into Louisiana, over into Texas, and we have people coming from Texas, the Ryans, the Chamberlains, looking for those families that went in there, fought Santa Ana. The history's amazing.
Yeah, one of the things that people, I think, have a tendency to forget, they hear about the migration to the West, but they had to start somewhere, and they started here mm-hmm. because this really was the only way to get here. In fact, I want to get back to one thing about Bedford County, which I learned recently. You mentioned it had been carved out of Cumberland County. But when Bedford County was formed, it was western Pennsylvania, wasn't it?
Yes.
It was a big county.
22 of the present-day counties of Pennsylvania when Bedford County was formed March 9, 1771. Northumberland County comes out in 1772. And one of the cutest things is that in February of 1773, Westmoreland County didn't want to pay taxes to Bedford County, just like Bedford County didn't want to pay. So everything west of the Lowell Islands went into Westmoreland, and then that would have been Greene and Fayette, Allegheny County.
Okay, now, we got to pull you back here for just a second because we have a few minutes left and I need to get a very important question out of the way. I live in Bedford County or I live somewhere and I want to know about this important history. How do we use this place? What should we do when we walk in here?
Well, when you walk in, we usually say, hi, thank you for coming. Can we help you? The Bedford County Historical Society is a 501c3 nonprofit. Therefore, we are purchasing the barn here, and we have to have money to go. So if you're a member and you come in, you can come in as many times as you want, as long as you don't make a nuisance of yourself, is what I tell everyone.
Like me.
Yeah, and buy copies. Or you can come in, and it's $5 for the first hour and $2 for every hour. Every day, Monday through Friday, we have volunteers who come in, and they'll ask you what you need. They'll have you sign in. Now, when you say, give a name, Richie, you'll say, which Richie? You want John Richie? You want the Richies in Coleraine? And they'll try to point what you where you need and what you need to go, and they will use their expertise with family records, maps. It's just unbelievable the amount of material that we have in this organization.
One of the personal experiences I had here was that I discovered some years ago that one of my ancestors on my father's side was on the Braddock March. So until I moved here, I didn't even know what the Braddock March was. I mean, I just knew that he was on some kind of a march, and it was run by some guy named General Braddock. So I remember coming into this barn here and learning that not only was he on the Braddock March, but he had to come through here to get it. Mm-hmm. So there's a little connection, not very big, but a little connection with my family in that this fella actually came here. His name was Jacob Morgan, and he came here through Bedford on the march, along with the, you know, 1,000 other guys who were in that march. He was just an enlisted guy. But it's so interesting because if you live here in Bedford County, your connections will be a lot deeper, would they not, because of the fact that your family's never left.
It is. And one of the cutest things that I have to say when people come in here, we are going to be celebrating in 2021, which sounds like a long time, would be the 250th anniversary of Bedford County. Our board has given us permission to write a brand new history book. The last history book that was done in Bedford County was the 1884 and the 1906 history. And lost my thought. Let me think a minute.
It's okay. We have the history of Bedford County, and you're talking about 6 years away to have this anniversary?
Yeah, we're having the history of Bedford County will be, but...
Okay, we just have a minute or two left. So if I'm going to come in here and do this, am I going to be able to learn anything about my family history, or is it just relegated to historical events?
No. It's history, the repository, history of the family. Also, one of the things that we like to do is the education, to make people aware that the people who lived in Bedford County have participated in every piece of history that has ever happened in Bedford County. Whether you're looking for French and Indian, whether you're looking for Revolution, the War of 1812, the Mexican War, the Civil War, the Spanish War, and all the wars of the 20th century. We have pictures and pension and stories. We hope that you will share those stories with us.
Tell me the name of the website so I can learn more about what's going on here.
Our website is bedfordpahistory.com. And we also publish a quarterly magazine called The Pioneer. And if you have a great story to share, I'm sure our editor would love to see it.
Well, we're out of time, but thank you so much, Jillian. You've done a wonderful job today. I know it's very hard for you because there's 50,000 things you want to talk about here, and can see how everyone get excited. By the way, as we are speaking here, I am in the first floor, which I guess is the research library department of this, and there are no less than 6 or 7 citizens here doing the very thing that Jillian is talking about. So I commend it to you tremendously. Jillian, thanks a million. You've been a wonderful sport. I really appreciate it. Bedford County Speaks was brought to you today by DestinationDelco.com. To learn more about the wonders of Delaware County and the Brandywine Valley, visit DestinationDelco.com. See you again next Saturday right here on News Talk 1310 WBFD. Until then, have a great weekend. This is Lloyd Roach.
You have been listening to Bedford County Speaks. Listen each Saturday beginning at 8:30 to hear about the work, lives, and lifestyles in Bedford County. Bedford County Speaks is a presentation of the News and Public Affairs Department of News Talk 1310 WBFD. Thanks for listening.